Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective and not from human perspective. The Bible is God's perspective. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 say this: "Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own private interpretation, and no prophecy of Scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men, carried along by God the Holy Spirit, spoke from the exact thinking of the God, the Lord Jesus Christ." So, the Lord Jesus Christ is our God. Today's lesson: God can do whatever He wills to do. God can do whatever He wills to do. That makes God a bad mother, doesn't it? God is sovereign. That's the technical term. You know, bad mother is the hood term, but sovereign, yeah, He's a bad mamma jammer, right? There's a song about that. But the technical term is sovereign. God is sovereign. And the first four words of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, tell us so. It says this: "In the beginning, not a beginning, God." Right? There is no greater statement of clarity than that. It all started with God. God has always existed. So imagine with me a trip back to that time. God was there with no one other than Himself. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three members of the Trinity were there with all-knowing, omniscient thoughts. All of them were there with all the power, omnipotence. All were of one mind. All were able to do anything in their will that they wanted to do. There, with an idea of creating the universe, and in the universe, creating angelic creatures, and then later, creating planets, and one of those planets would be called Earth. And on planet Earth, creatures, true humanity, human beings, and in omniscience, imagining a single path for angelic and human creatures to walk. And the path could be compared to a bowling alley. And our souls could be compared to bowling balls. And God the Son reached into the basket and pulled out a soul and rolled it down the alley. And each soul quickly gravitated to the gutter. And He knew that each soul would do that in eternity past. So what He did was He put a magnetic force on the bowling alley designed to pull souls from the gutter back to the bowling alley. The magnetic pull was an invitation, a reconciliation offer, a gospel message, a divine call. Some souls responded to the pull and came back to the alley. And some souls resisted the pull and stayed in the gutter. It reminds me of magnets. Sometimes when you put two magnets together, they attract. And sometimes when you put the two magnets together, they repel. So before the Lord took each soul into His hands to roll it down the alley, He knew the ones that would come back to the alley and the ones that would not. And those that came back to the alley would be His. And for them, He offered a set of privileges that would stagger the imagination, including the gift of election and the gift of predestination. And the Lord would do this because He is God. He would do this because He is the Creator. He would do this because He is the Sovereign One of the universe who has the ability to do all that He wills to do. And He wills to do all of this for His good pleasure. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21, Abraham reflects on God's sovereign ability. He says this: "Without becoming weak in faith, Abraham contemplated his own body, now as good as sexually dead, since he was about 100 years old. And Abraham contemplated the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was unable to bear a child. Abraham was unable to father a child. But then the intervention of God's sovereign will." Why? Because He can and because He wanted to. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Yet with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but instead grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. God is quite able. And Abraham knew what all of us knew deep down inside, because God has written this truth on our souls, deep in our heart, that God can do whatever he wills to do. Why does God do whatever he wills? Because he can. So welcome to a place where you can learn about the one and only sovereign God of the universe, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The opening song for this lesson is going to be sung by June Murphy. The song is, I Will.
Once upon an eternity, long before time began, the Godhead held a conference. The Father had a plan. The Trinity decided on the divine decree before the foundation of the world. They were Christ said, I will create perfect creatures with a free will. I will allow every creature to fall. I will provide for their salvation, dying on the cross for them all. I will allow those rejecting the offer to remain in their condemnation. I will give to those who believe. Perfect angels. Satan was the first to fall. He lied to the other angels. They believed it all. They turned on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was before the world's foundation. Satan wasn't satisfied with his appointed. Satan said, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise above the stars my throne. I will sit in the north assembly. I want worship of my own. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. These are my five I wills. I am filled with pride. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Man was created to resolve this conflict. I will allow every creature to fall. I will provide. stand and fight the good fight. I will fix my eyes on Jesus for the rest of my life.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for being a God who can do whatever he wills. And thank you for being full of wisdom as well. For as your enemy Satan has taught us, will can abuse wisdom. In you, we see the perfect use of will and wisdom to accomplish goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Inspire us with your word today so that we might do the same things. Let your words fill us with wisdom so that we can use our will in obedience to you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's begin this lesson by giving you a chance to make an offering. We need and we value your financial support. Please welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with the offering message.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. And another thing hit me as we're learning about the Israelis and the Jews and how they were persecuted in the early church. It seems that it was easy to be distracted at that point. A lot of distractions in their lives, from being religious zealots and being on that side to disengaging completely and not being part of the society and being anti-Gentile and all these things. And I think our lives are the same way. We have so many distractions in our lives, especially distracting us from our spiritual life. We have work issues, and we have family issues, and we have marriage issues, and we have all these things that pull us away. And then we have financial issues, which that's the backbone of it all, isn't it, really? When financial issues come through any of those things, it really sets it off. I know for me, I'm always stressing about money, and I will just freak out and get stressed, and I'll be annoyed with my wife, inappropriately so, because of money, and she doesn't deserve it, but I'll do that because I just feel like I should be working at all points, at all the time. There's no free time. And with church, there's things I need to do. With work, there's things I need to do. And with side jobs, I need to keep those going. So there's just no free moments. And so what do? We just freak out and we don't do any of it. We sit at home and watch TV. Or we just drop the ball in one area and we make our wife mad. Or we drop the ball at work and then the work's upset with us. And, you know, how do you balance all these things? And the easiest thing to do is to stop church or stop your religious life or stop your spirituality and try to engage with these things one-on-one and then go back to Christianity when all those things are settled. But we know that's not the way to go. We know that's the wrong way. That's putting many instead of one. It should just be one, Christ. It should be one, your spiritual life. And I was looking through 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 35, and this set of chapters is about marriage. And Paul was saying that it's generally easier for a Christian to be single than it is to be married. It's much more easy to be focused on the gospel and focused on your spiritual life when you're single than in marriage. He says, "This I say to you for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you to be single, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord." And I think we all need to remember that, undistracted devotion to the Lord in everything, first. That's the first priority in our lives, and that will help all those other things fall in line, work, marriage, social life, finances. That's the first thing. Undistracted devotion to the Lord will secure all those other things. It will make you peaceful in those hard moments at work. It will make you peaceful when you know there's a little bit too much month at the end of the money. It will make you peaceful when you know that your marriage or your friendships or your work life is being attacked inappropriately, because there's only one person that has your best interest in mind, and that's Christ. And through him, all the other things will fall in line. And I feel like a lot of people are setting Christ aside in order to make work happen and make marriage happen. And, you know, I think Paul was saying, take your choice, be single, be married, but just remember that at the end of the day, the gospel is the most important thing. The Christ is the most important thing. And I think when we have the chance to give the gospel, we're often distracted. You know, they call it the weapons of mass distraction, Facebook, Twitter, all the internet things, all the social media networks. You just get wrapped up in it and you get lost in it and it wastes your time and you lose the opportunity, like I said last week, because you're distracted. And I think we're distracted with money a lot of times and we spend it on the wrong things. We easily spend it on video games. We easily spend it on golf clubs, on watches, on trips. And when it comes to God, it's not so easily given to. And I think we need to remember that he gives it to us so we can give it right back to him. And I want to thank everybody for always giving to this church. And I want to really appreciate Pastor and Lila for going through 2 years of marriage, because marriage is tough. And then when you're married to a pastor, that's even tougher, because a pastor is always attacked. A pastor is always put on a pedestal, inappropriately so. And there are so many distractions. And as a, you know, I know Emily being married to a deacon, I'm gone a lot. There's a lot of Saturdays that I'm gone, and like today I'll be gone this afternoon, and there's all these moments where you're not unified, and it's very easy to grow apart, and it's very easy to not respect one another, and it's the hardest thing to do. So to go through that and to be as strong as you are, it's really amazing. And Larry and Pat for 54 years, I mean, that's just amazing. They've ironed it out. They know what they're doing. So, and I'm sure they've had troubles, and I'm sure they've had issues at moments, and there's no perfect life in all of us, but I'm just happy that everybody's not distracted today, because you're here, you're listening, you're watching, and I'm glad that Pastor doesn't get distracted by the many distractions, because it would be easy to pull away and give up on his spiritual gift, because there's no motivation from the outside world. The only motivation is through Christ. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Deacon Denny. I don't know what you mean about a pastor being up on a pedestal. I don't know exactly what that means. I think I'll do the rest of the lesson from right here. Don't fall. Yeah, no kidding, don't fall. Okay. A pastor was killed today when he fell off of his pedestal. I just want to say hi to John and Monica and Harold and Cindy Christensen. I think they're all watching from Coeur d'Alene today. They sent me a picture, and it looks like they're listening live, and I hope you are. But hello, greetings to my friends in Coeur d'Alene. Can't wait till August. So today's Bible lesson, God can do whatever he wills to do. God can do whatever he wills to do. Well, there's a quote from a movie called The Dead Poets Society, and it says this: believe it or not, one day each one of us in this room is going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. And the lesson we learn from this is that we are not God. It is God's will that this happen. We simply adjust to his will. God's sovereignty is in view as we move to the second passage of Romans chapter 9, a passage that extends from verses 6 to 13. So let's start with verse 1 to remind us where we've been, and then let's hear verses 6 to 13 to see where we're going. And this lesson will be kind of an overview, preview into that passage. So let's begin at verse 1. I, Paul, am telling you the truth. I'm in union with Christ on this. I am not lying to you. My conscience testifies along with me. I am filled with God the Holy Spirit and his enabling power in this matter. Romans 9:2. And I tell you that I keep on having great sorrow and an incessant haunting grief in my heart. In other words, I'm heartbroken. Romans 9:3. For I, Paul, if I, Paul, could, I would wish that I myself were accursed, made an anathema by God, sent to the lake of fire as a substitute, and separated from my union with the Christ, the Messiah, for the sake of my brethren, the Jews, who are unbelievers, who are my kinsmen according to the flesh. Romans 9:4, my kinsmen, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the Mosaic law, and the temple service, and the promises, my kinsmen who are of the lineage of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and my kinsmen from whose lineage comes the Christ, the one who became flesh and tabernacled among us, the Messiah, the one who is sovereign over all, the God, deity, the blessed one, who is, who exists forever. Amen. Now the second passage, the passage under study next. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. Romans 9:7. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. Romans 9:8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. Notice the distinction. There are children of the flesh, and there are children of the promise. Two groups, always two groups. Romans chapter 9, verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Romans 9:10. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. Romans 9:11, for though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to his choice would stand, sovereignty, not because of works, but because of him who calls. Romans 9:12, it was said to Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. That was the complete violation of the norms of the time. The older did not serve the younger. It was in reverse. The younger served the older. So it'll be interesting for us to really get into what that means. Romans 9:13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Those were the twins. Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And that was something that God said about them before they were even born, before they had even done a work. And that makes you think back to the bowling alley and God knowing what souls would stay in the gutter and what souls would gravitate back to the lane. God is sovereign. God's purpose, according to his choice, will stand. And as we begin the study of this passage, we need to get our minds around this idea that God is sovereign. That God has the ultimate choice. that God is able to do whatever he wills to do, and that nothing that has ever happened in the course of divine history happens without his permission. Here's what one writer has to say about God's sovereignty, and it is pretty poignant. He says, no doctrine is more despised by the natural mind, and of course he's talking about unbelievers, than the truth that God is absolutely sovereign. Human pride loathes the suggestion that God orders everything, controls everything, and rules over everything. God, the carnal mind, the mind of an unbeliever, burning with enmity against God, antagonism toward God, abhors the biblical teaching that nothing comes to pass except according to God's eternal decrees. Most of all, the flesh hates the notion that salvation is entirely God's work. In fact, that God doesn't need any help from mankind. If God chose who would be saved, and he did, and if his choice was settled before the foundation of the world, and it was, then his believers deserve no credit for their salvation. That is, after all, precisely what Scripture teaches. Even faith is God's gracious gift to his elect. God is sovereign. God is the source of everything. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say this, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that grace, that faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. God gave you everything that was necessary to save you. Ephesians 2, 9, it is not a result of your works so that no one may boast. No one will ever stand up and say, I saved myself. No one will ever stand up and say, I can make myself like the Most High. They can say it, but they can't do it. John chapter 6, verse 65 says, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, for this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him to come to me from God the Father. God is sovereign. And nothing happens in the matter of salvation without God the Father's permission and approval. John chapter 6, verse 63 says this, it is God the Holy Spirit who gives the resurrection life. The flesh contributes nothing. Sovereignty. God is sovereign. God chooses. God wills. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, 4, the first part. Just as he chose us, God the Father chose us to be in union with Christ before the foundation of the world. Well, let's take a quick music break, and then we'll learn more about our sovereign God as we make the transition into the second passage of Romans chapter 9. The break song, Say Amen by Finding Favor.
the darkness is hard to see. So just be brave and follow where he leads. 'Cause greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Today's Bible lesson, God can do whatever He wills to do. God can do whatever He wills to do. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. But it is not as though the Word of God has failed. The Word of God has not failed simply because somebody rejected it. The Word of God, the plan of God, hasn't failed simply because one of the balls in the gutter won't respond to the pull of the lane. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. All racial Jews are not spiritual Jews. Romans chapter 9, verse 7. Nor are they all children of God because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. Why? Because God is sovereign and He decided that that would be so. He decided that from a line of believers the descendants of Abraham would come because Abraham was a believer. Romans chapter 9 verse 8. That is, it is not the children of the flesh, not racial Jews, who are the children of God. But the children of the promise, spiritual Jews, are regarded as descendants of Abraham. Romans chapter 9, verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And that Sarah, that barren woman, would bear a son, Isaac, his name meaning laughter, and the whole line of believing Jews would come through that line. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, not Ishmael and Esau and the other line. Romans 10:10. And not only this, but there was Rebekah also when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. Romans 9:11. For though the twins were not yet born, and this is the thing that has got to really slam your head. For though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, had done not one work, positive or negative, so that God's purpose according to His choice, His sovereign choice, would stand. And not because of the works, but because of Him who calls. Romans 9:12, it was said to Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. That was as much a prediction as it was a matter of God's sovereignty. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, and prediction from omniscience is a guarantee. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. So as for each of us, as parents, we can relate to God's sovereignty a little bit. Before my children were born, before the foundation of their world, I made a clear decision about their path, yet not from a point of view of omniscience. I did not have the same thought pattern that God did. I had only good intentions for my kids. I knew the path I wanted them to take, but I did not know whether they would accept or reject that path. But God knew. And God provided the path in eternity past, and He provided me with just the right soul to teach me all the things that He had willed to teach me. And as for each of us, God knows our decision regarding His path, and those who accept His path are the called ones. They are the born-again ones, the ones who left the gutter for the marvelous light of the bowling alley. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30 describe the bowling alley, the path that God chose for all who would accept Him, a path that He created before the foundation of the world. Here's what it says, Romans 8:28, and we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good for those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to His purpose. And the divine calling is a calling to those who will accept. Called according to His purpose. That gravitational pull of the bowling alley for those balls in the gutter that He knew would respond to His call. Romans 8:29, for those whom God the Father foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that the Son would be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:30. And these whom God the Father predestined, he also called. Here's the path. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Predestined, called, justified, glorified. The path, the bowling alley. God is sovereign, and that was his choice. What is God's path? In the matter of all things created, God allows it, God decrees it, and God calls it into existence because of the kind intention of his will. And the word of God has not failed because some Jews have rejected God's path. There is a remnant of believers in Christ in Israel, Abraham's seed. We call them Messianic Jews. Jews who believe the Messiah has already come. And the Lord will continue to bless them just as he decided to do in sovereignty in eternity past. And it is the remnant that will receive all the blessings promised to the Jews. And that's what's funny to me. Because of all the Jewish people I know, whenever I talk to them about Messianic Jews, they talk about them with such contempt. And there's this huge group of unbelieving Jews who talks about the Messianic group of Jews with just enmity and contempt and antagonism. Yet isn't it ironic that it is this small group, this remnant, who are the reason that the Jews are blessed? That's exactly how God works. So these are the things that we'll learn as we transition into the second passage in Romans chapter 9. Well, God wants you, and what he wants from you is to make the most important decision of your life. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel message, for it is the power of God, divine omnipotence, it is the power of God the Father, to provide salvation to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this, enter salvation through the narrow gate, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through that. Matthew 7:14, the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to the resurrection life, and there are few who find it. John 10:9, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the door to salvation. And if anyone enters through believing in me, he will be saved, and then he will go in and out and find pasture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, for in union with Adam, all are set to die the second death in the lake of fire. But all those in union with Christ will live the resurrection life. How great is our God? Let's let June Murphy tell us in song.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see stars, I hear the roaring thunder, thy power throughout it sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou. Then sings my soul, my Savior. scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burdens gladly buried, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing
Almighty God and Father, you are truly great, and thank you for being in control. Thank you for your sovereign choices, because we know that you are perfect, and therefore your choices are perfect. We have the perfect parents. We have the perfect situation. We have the perfect jobs. We have the perfect friends. We have the perfect adversity. We have the perfect blessings, all because of your sovereign choice. And all of your choices are designed to lead us to one place, spiritual maturity. That we are content, regardless of the circumstances. That we learn to get along with humble means and to get along with plenty. So thank you for that. Help us to accept your choices. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.